I have had the opportunity to hear different people pray. You know, sometimes we think about the prayers of the saints. You think about prayers that people have prayed, and we've talked about this before, but the truth is, when you hear somebody praying in a situation that is desperate, it changes you. It changes you. I remember a young man when I was in Central America. This was a long time ago, but he lived in Guatemala, and this was the whole communist thing going on, and the soldiers would come in to a town, and they would come to your door with their guns, and they'd say, "We want food." And so, you're not going to argue with them and say, "No, you can't have the food. We got to save it for the kids." You give them what you have. And then the government soldiers would come, and they'd say, "You fed the communists." And they'd come in there, and they'd shoot you down. So you couldn't win either way. And so this was happening in Guatemala. And there was a young man who ended up running from his town because they came in. I don't even know if it was the government soldiers or the communists. Who's the enemy? But his whole family was gunned down, and he was the only one left. And he ran into the jungle and crossed the river and came to where we were in Cayo in Belize. And I just remember, I didn't know Spanish really well. I'm still learning Spanish, so. But he was just talking to us, and I was trying to understand him. But he was saying, "I have no family left. The only reason I have to live now is to help people find Jesus." And he said, "I have a whole town. I don't even know what happened to the people in my town, but many of them didn't even know who Jesus was. And I need to go back and tell them about Jesus and his second coming." And so this young man, I prayed with him. And he was in tears while he was praying. And he says, "Lord," made me think of our Sabbath school lesson this morning. "Lord, if you want me to live, fine. If you don't want me to live, that's fine. But I'm going to dedicate my life to you and to teach other people about you, even if it means my life." And he stayed with us for a few days, and then he took off, and he had to go through the jungle. Can't take the main road because it's not the way to go. And I've never seen him again or heard from him. I don't know what happened to him. But listening to his prayer changed my life. I thought, well, I'm the missionary. But I really wasn't the missionary that day. He was the missionary. I was the mission field. Sometimes we think we're going to go tell people about Jesus. But really what happens is they tell us more than we can tell them because of the things they have to go through or because of the experiences they have. And I thought, well, I don't know if I would be brave enough to go hiking through the jungle where you don't know if you're going to run into people that will shoot you down. But he was. And so he changed my walk with Jesus just by listening to him and seeing his experience. I have family. He had no family. Turn to John chapter 13. What does it really mean to dedicate your life to Christ? This is really the question. What does it really mean? Sometimes we need to see it in action for it to change us. Quite often we just see the old run-of-the-mill church folk doing the run-of-the-mill church things. And I think we need to step it up, and I think God will bless. I don't want to have to go through a situation like that young man had to go through, but seeing his Christianity in action changed mine. And we need to have that kind of Christianity so we can change other people. John chapter 13. Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. And they were not sure if they wanted him to wash his feet or their feet. And so he was, I think he had to push them a little bit with Peter. You know the story? John 13, Peter says, no, don't touch my, you can't wash my feet. And he says, well, if you don't wash, you're not going to have part with me. And he says, well, then wash everything. And Jesus says, the feet will be fine. The feet will be fine. But in verse 12, let's go to verse 12 in your Bible. John 13, verse 12, it says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he was seated again and said unto them, know you what I have done to you? Okay, this is more King James sounding, but basically he's saying, do you know what I've done to you? Do you know what this means? I have washed your feet. Do you understand what this is all about? You call me teacher and Lord, and that's the right thing to do, because I am your teacher and Lord. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. Now we take that and we say, see, we should have a foot washing at church. Is that what Jesus was referring to? Is that the most important focus that he had, that we would be able to wash each other's feet at church? We've got to think about, why is Jesus doing this to the disciples? Okay. In verse 15 it says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't wash each other's feet, but maybe there's more to this than just what we tend to see on the surface. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And then verse 17 is really the key. Once you understand what Jesus has done to the disciples, once they understand what he did to them, then verse 17 kicks in. It says, if you know these things, if you understand them, happy are you if you do them. Okay, so the question is, what is Jesus talking about? Is the most important thing clean feet? How many of you need clean feet? Well, if you got dirty feet, it's good to have clean feet, right? But will clean feet make the difference in the kingdom? What really is Jesus trying to teach the disciples? Teaching them what? Humility. One. Service. Okay, so if we, living today, I want to think about this. I want all of us to think about this. If we're living today, Jesus is basically saying, if you want to find happiness, it's by following my example. It's so simple. It's so simple, it's complicated. Okay? So today, how do we wash each other's feet? At church? Now, like I said, there's nothing. We're following his example by washing each other's feet, literally. But is there something more to this than just washing some feet? Okay, I don't mind having clean feet, but you know, I usually clean my feet before I come. I don't want anybody to see all that, you know, whatever they shouldn't see. So having clean feet at church is a good thing. But having a clean heart and having a life of service, I was thinking of this young man who said, I am going to go back to my community, even if it means my life, to tell people that Jesus is coming again and to show them from the scriptures what that's all about. This is really what cleaning feet, maybe I should ask it this way, are there some dirty feet out in the world? Okay. Now, we're not going to go door-to-door washing feet. But we might go door-to-door to tell people about Jesus' second coming. We're Seventh-day Adventists. You know what that means? We go and tell people that there's a special day that God has given, and that God that has given that special day is coming soon. And we want everybody to be ready when he comes. And so this is a special way that we can reach others for Christ. So how could we wash feet? How do you wash feet in Hermiston? Anybody have ideas? How would you wash feet in Hermiston? Well, one, you can wash feet by coming to the church on communion. But let's see if we can go further than that. How do you wash feet so you can reach people for Christ? Being a good Samaritan. What does a good Samaritan do? Okay. Okay, is everybody hearing what he's saying? Outside your own convenience? So what does that mean? That means that you might have to interrupt. Okay, you have to interrupt your schedule. You might have to spend some time that you would spend doing your own stuff to help other people, okay? So what different ways could we help people? How could you help people? How many here are preachers? There's a few. Actually, God wants all of us. You know, we have different talents, but one of the talents that we have is the gift of speech, which is one of the most important talents, because with that gift, we lead people to Jesus. So each one of us is a preacher. We might not preach to a whole congregation, but with God's help, you say, Lord, give me grace. Give me a tongue that can tell others about Jesus. But how do you reach people for Jesus if they're not even going to let you in the door? Okay. Okay. Did you hear, everybody hear what she said? You have Jesus in your heart, they see it, and you do things automatically. So what kind of automatic things would we be doing as Christians? I want to get down to the nitty, rubber meets the road. What can I do for my neighbor? Let's say I have a neighbor. Ah, somebody was saying you can pass out a tract. Can you do that? Can you give your neighbor a tract? Okay, even if you're, that's right. But this is visiting, even at your own expense. You might have something else that you really'd like to be doing, but you're going to take time to listen to the neighbor, even if he's just whining about politics. You know, one of the things that you can do, one of the best things you can do, and I think we talked about this before, is be a good listener. How many people out there have people that will even listen to them? Especially in our culture. Our culture is very, what's the word I'm thinking of? We are segregated. You know, we stay in our own house. People don't spend a lot of time visiting with neighbors. Some people don't even know who their neighbors are. They don't even know what they look like. We run off to work, we come home, we run off to work, we come home, we take care of our family, we go to sleep, we get up, come off, and run off to work and come home. Or you find people who are retired, and they sit at their house, and they don't have many people that they mingle with. So the thing that we can do is be the friendliest neighbor in town. You can wash their feet, not by washing their feet, but by spending time listening to your neighbor, visiting with your neighbor. Any other ideas? What kind of ways can we reach people? Volunteering, okay. If you have time, well, Kent was saying, even if you don't have time. Actually, what he was saying, I think, makes a good point, is that we all have 24 hours. When we don't have time, that's when we say, Lord, please help me to take some of my time that I use for me and use it for somebody else. Okay. Okay. She had a neighbor that pulled her out of the ditch when their car got stuck. Oh, pulled the hubby out, yeah. Jeannie didn't get in those. It's always the hubby that gets in those predicaments. But the neighbor pulled her out, but she's saying, well, we should be willing to help out the neighbor when they get stuck. Okay. Now, how do you know if your neighbor's even stuck? Got to keep your eyes open. Now see, this is part of washing feet. Keeping your eyes open to see what's going on with your neighbor. How can you help your neighbor? You got to be aware of what's happening. Some of the struggles they have. Some of the things that maybe just being a friend. Maybe just being a friend. So I think we need to really brainstorm, how can we actually be those that are servants to others? How can we be servants? We can do stuff at church, we can help at church, but really, the key to reaching people for Christ is helping somebody outside of church. Working with people, maybe relatives. Do you have relatives that just drive you crazy? Wow, 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 wow. You know, you have relatives like that that talk too much? Maybe you got a pastor that talks too much. You can come and visit him. But you follow what I'm saying. God might be sending you to a relative that nobody else is interested in listening to. Nobody else wants to give the time of day to this relative because they've done something stupid or they messed up or nobody wants to hear about their problems. But they can say, you know, if there's a Christian in this world, it's my Uncle Joe. You follow what I'm saying? This is the kind of person, this is the kind of way that you can follow Jesus and wash feet. Actually, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Because Jesus talks about how we should order our life in order to be a blessing to other people. I was just thinking we should go through some of the, you know, sometimes we don't get it. We can't figure out how do we do the rubber meets the road helping other people. We can help them out of the ditch, which is great. But sometimes you can help people by just being their friend. You can help people. I had one family, they said, well, we made pies for all the neighbors. And we went to the neighbor's house and we gave them a pie and they looked at us and said, nobody gives pies away to their neighbors. You guys are crazy. But the neighbors said, we have really great neighbors because they give pies away. Nobody else does that. So you got to think of different ways. Now, you can do other things than pies, but I've not ever gotten a pie. Have we gotten a pie from a neighbor? Not recently. But you follow what I'm saying. One of the ladies, when I was in Central America, the missionary lady who ran the whole, you know, compound there, she said we would bake bread, whole wheat bread. You couldn't buy whole wheat bread in the stores around. It was all white bread. So we would bake bread, and she would say, let's bake 20 extra loaves, and we'll find all the neighbors, and we'll take a loaf to each neighbor. And so we were known as the bread folk. Every time we went to see him, we had a loaf of bread. And they really liked that. I mean, little things you can do. Little things are really what life is all about. You know, we think, oh, I want to be the great missionary. But really, you want to be the little missionary and just do the basics. Because the truth is, the opportunities we have are the small ones. Those will make the biggest difference in people's lives. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. 16, verse 24. So the key is thinking, how can I be a servant? That's what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. Be a servant. Do the menial job in order to reach somebody. Okay? Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Now Jesus was telling Peter that he was going to be going to the cross. And Peter argued with him and said, no, you can't do that. And Jesus rebuked Peter, and then after this in verse 24, he says, then Jesus said unto all his disciples, not only to Peter, he says, if any man will come after me, let him what? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So what does it mean to take up your cross? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, and the gospel will find it. See, what Jesus is saying is that are we willing to give up our time, our energy, so other people can have a blessing, so other people can have Jesus, so other people can have salvation? Are we willing to give up our time? Are we willing to do things that are outside of our comfort zone? But pastor, I can't preach. I get all tongue-tied when I try to talk to people. You get on your knees and say, Lord, didn't Moses pray this prayer? I can't speak. And what did God do for Moses? gave him a brother. But you know something? If you can't speak, you can find somebody in church that will go with you. And you can pray with them. And as time goes on, God will help you be able to say the right words to reach a neighbor. Little by little. Okay? So it says you want to lose your life to win souls. This is really what it... What does this mean when you say you're going to lose your life? That means you dedicate your life to God in order to win somebody for Christ. So you have to ask the question, when was the last time in my life that I had an opportunity to reach somebody for Jesus? Was it a week ago? Was it a month ago? When was the last time I had an opportunity to talk to somebody about finding Jesus? A year ago? 10 years ago? I can't remember the last time, Pastor. If it was yesterday, thank God, keep it up. God will bless you. If you have to sacrifice, some people say, well, Pastor, if I go to church, my family's going to disown me. What do you do? Go to church. What does it mean to lose your life for Jesus? That's really what the question is. 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:21. You know, Jesus talks about following him, but he says, if you follow me, don't think you're losing everything. You are gaining everything. The good news is that whatever you lose, you are gaining much more. 1 Peter 2:21. I hope some of you know this by heart. 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for even to this were you called. Each one of us are called to do what? It says, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. So what was his example? He came to this world. He didn't have to come. You think heaven was more comfortable than this world? He came to this world. He didn't just come to this world, but he came to this world. He spent time with the disciples for 3 years. Were they easy to deal with? They were all fighting over who was the best. And then he gave his life. So this is his example. So it says, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should do what? We should follow his steps. So Lord, am I willing to surrender all to reach my neighbor? Or are they too much work? Or maybe, yeah, it makes me too uncomfortable. Because I've not done enough missionary work, I'm not sure how to do this. So I'll just say, Lord, please send somebody else. But what does Isaiah pray? Here I am. Send me. It's always easier to send somebody else. But God wants each one of us to serve him. And the conclusion is simple. Go back to John. John 13, verse 17. The conclusion is so simple. God calls us to deny ourselves so others can find life. But what is true happiness? He tells us. He washed the disciples' feet. He says, do you understand what I've done to you? Do you understand what this means? You're to follow my example. Not only are you to wash each other's feet, but you're to wash everybody's feet. And he says, if you do this, verse 17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. How many here want to find true happiness? Well, I saw a few hands going up. You sure you want happiness? True happiness is giving your life completely to Jesus so he can use you to reach other people. And the reality is, when you have reached somebody else for Jesus, you go home and sleep like a baby and say, the Lord has used me. Such a blessing. Why have I waited so long for God to use me? So if you want happiness, follow Jesus' example. It's simple. It's simple. Today, we are going to wash each other's feet. But as we wash each other's feet, let's think about how God can use us further than just cleaning feet in the Sabbath school rooms. Ask God for wisdom. And ask God for a willing, sacrificial thought in your own heart. Say, Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice my time, my energy. Lord, help me have a burden for the neighbor. Sometimes we don't even have a burden for other people. Ask God to change us, to make us in His image, so we can follow Him and we can sacrifice. We can lose our life in order to gain it. So with that, I'd like you to, we're going to be gathering together rather than separating. We're going to be gathering together in the rooms for foot washing. Those who have never, there might be a few here that have never had their feet washed or washed feet, I encourage you to go in, and even if you're just, if you're not sure if you want to do it, you can go in and just watch and see how it's done. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing because we're following the Lord's command to do it, but also it's just a symbol, like I was saying, just a symbol of what God wants us to further do for Him. So at this time, let's gather together in the back rooms, and if you're not sure which room to go into, the deacons will help guide you. For the ladies, for the men, I think there's another room for couples.